Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Good Radio Network, radio that does a world of good. This isn't your average talk radio show. We're blasting away the old tried and not so true mold. Instead, TGRN turns talk into action. And action leads to doing positive things for people, our environment, and even the animals.
Well, I'm only one person. What can I do?
A lot. Join host Frankie Picasso while she turns talk into doing and gets results. This is the Good Radio Network. Yes, you can do it if you try, even if you're just a regular guy. Now, here's your host, Frankie Picasso.
Good day to you wherever you are in the world. This is Thursday, August the 6th. For those of you who are listening live, feel free to join in the conversation. The caller number is 1-845-241-9943. Again, 1-845-241-9943. And if you sign up as a registered user, you should be able to join the show through Skype. And we're hoping that that works today. Well, it is another beautiful day here, and the sweltering heat of last week has finally left us. And this morning, there was a slight briskness in the air, a hint, if you will, that fall will be arriving soon. And I hate to say it because last winter was so brutal, but I do love fall in all the beautiful colors. Don't you? If you do, take some photographs in the next few weeks as the colors start to change and send it to the Good Radio Network at Facebook. That'd be great to see those shots. My good minute today, this is a great story. It's a story about a beautiful couple, a Turkish bride and groom, Fethullah and Esra. Great names. Well, this bride and groom who were married the other day decided to share their joy on their wedding day by inviting 4,000 Syrian refugees to eat with them and celebrate in the southern Turkish city of Kilis. The couple who got married in a province near the Syrian border invited refugees who had fled the country since the civil war began 4 years ago. Now, the groom's father said he was glad that the couple began their life together with such a selfless action. Wow, it's just amazing. And the wedding guests shared food using trucks and those providing meals, which included the bride and groom themselves, feeding all of these people. I was shocked, said the bride, when Fethullah first told me about the idea, but afterwards I was won over by it. It was such a wonderful experience. I'm happy that we had the opportunity to share our wedding meal with people who are in real need. And if you'd like to see photos of the happy couple feeding the refugees, you can go to facebook.com/thegoodradionetwork, and I've posted those there for you. What an amazing story. And Esra, you are a very lucky woman to have married a husband like you did. And we wish you a long and happy life together. Well, today I have another selfless story to share with you. My guest is Ian Northcott. He's an ex-armed serviceman, retired policeman, and now Nordic walking instructor from Birmingham, England, who founded the charity Socks and Chocks to brighten up the lives of the homeless in his community. And as a beat cop, Ian came to know many of the homeless who lived on the streets. And as such, he would hand out a chocolate bar here and there, making their lives a little sweeter. And I'm going to let him tell that story to you of what motivated him to start Socks and Chocks. But I can tell you that in 2014, this incredible charity raised 17,072 pairs of socks, 21,648 boxes of chocolates, 2,827 miscellaneous hats and gloves, etc., and 586 sleeping bags. Now, Ian became known as Birmingham's Busking Bobby in 2013 when an impromptu decision to grab a guitar from some buskers and start singing Wonderwall put him into infamy. And one of the onlookers took a video of the event, uploaded it to YouTube, and the rest of the story is history. As a result, the donations came pouring to the charity. Ian was awarded a Point of Light community by the Prime Minister of England. Please welcome to the show, Ian Northcott. Hello, Ian.
Hello. Can you hear me okay?
Yeah, just a little bit louder would be good.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear?
Hello. I can hear you. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. I'd just like you to speak up a little bit, if you could.
Okay. It's breaking up a bit.
Oh, that's okay. Here, you're sounding good to me, Ian. Thank you. Welcome to the show. Ian, can you hear me?
Yeah, I can't. You're very breaking up, I'm afraid.
Oh, dear. Why don't you try to call in again, and I'll hang up and you try to come in again, because we want to be able to hear you. That'd be great.
Yeah, it was okay earlier on, wasn't it, when we practiced earlier on?
It was okay when we practiced, but I was on Skype, and I'm not on Skype now. But you can't hear me?
You're much clearer now. You've gone suddenly very clear, so hopefully I have to.
Oh, no. Okay. Well, you just broke up there for a minute, but let's see if we can't get through this a little bit. So,
okay.
Ian, I wanted to just say that you were very brave to have gotten up and bust knowing only 5 chords on your guitar.
I only know 3. Don't build it up too much.
That was great. I'm just teasing him, folks. Did you ever imagine in your life that you would meet the Prime Minister, David Cameron?
Well, I didn't actually meet him. It was an award from him, but I got it from one of his senior cabinet ministers here in England. So, no, I didn't think that I'd ever be lucky enough to meet somebody like that who would recognise what we've been up to, really.
Isn't that brilliant? Wow, I love it. So I didn't tell the story of Job because I wanted you to be able to tell that story. So can you tell us a little bit about your days starting off in policing and you know, how it was that you met the homeless and one person in particular? Oh, we just lost him. We're going to, hopefully, Ian's going to be able to call us back because he's got such a brilliant story. And if you want to know more about Ian and Socks and Chocks, why don't you visit www.socksandchocks.co.uk. So that's socksandchocks.co.uk. Socks and Chocks. It's a great name. Stands for, my daughter didn't know, so it's Socks and Chocolates. And that's what his charity has been handing out at Christmas time and now all year, I believe, to the homeless through community centers that specialize in helping folks like themselves. And we're just waiting to see if Ian can call back in through Skype, and hopefully he can because, you know, he's the main event. How many of you have helped the homeless, and what have you done to do that? You can write to me in the chat window, actually, because I do have that open, and it would be great to hear your stories. I think it's really kind of brilliant. There's a story. Oh, let's see. I think we have him back. Ian? Hello? Hello, Ian.
Hello?
There you go. Okay. So where we dropped you, can you hear me?
Hello. I can hear
Hi.
You now.
Okay, great. Where you dropped off, I was asking you to tell us the stories of your first day in policing, you know, the days, the first years, and how you first met Joe and what it was like for you to come across the homeless.
Okay, you're breaking up a bit, but you mean the first time when I was first a police officer?
Yeah, and then when you first met Joe.
I'm ever so sorry, I can't reach.
Okay, I'm going to type in the window. First met Joe. And your first days on the job as a PC. Hopefully.
Okay. I kind of hear you breaking up a little bit. Can you hear me clearly?
I can hear you clearly.
Okay.
Yeah.
When I first joined, I was 27. I'd done some time in the army. So I was a little bit older than a lot of people. And the first day on the job, well, the first few weeks really, I spent obviously doing a little bit of learning and getting your uniform on and all that kind of stuff. And then after about 5 months or so, you then actually go out and meet the public. So you come in a police officer on the streets, if you like. So that's when things start to get a bit hairy and you're not used to the way people interact with the police. Can you still hear me okay?
Yeah, I can. All good.
Okay. You're breaking up to me, but as long as I know you can hear me, I'll carry on. And you know, the first day was as nervous as you can imagine walking around there. The public look at you a little bit differently. You know, you go to a cash point machine or an ATM, I don't know what you call them over there, but a cash point machine from the bank through the wall. And mm-hmm. people look at you as if to say, he needs money as well. And, you know, you buy a sandwich or something and people look at you as if to say, my goodness, they eat. They actually eat. you get some very strange looks from people, to be honest. But that was good, and that went off okay. And then, of course, there comes the first day when you have to make your first arrest. Yeah. And lots of thoughts go through your mind then as, am I lawful? Have I done this properly? You know, have I done something wrong? You know, you think about all those different things. So it's quite nerve-wracking when you first join, really.
Ian, when yep. police officers in England, do they get free food from vendors like they do here?
No, we're not actually allowed to take anything like that. Should we be next to a stall or something and somebody actually gives you free food, you have to kind of make a judgment of would it be offensive to them if you didn't take it, but then you're supposed to go back and actually declare it to your senior management so that nobody can accuse you of being sort of being bribed or anything like that.
Right. Okay. And so how was it that you came across Joe?
Yeah, Joe. I mean, that wasn't his real name, but we'll call him Joe. That's good. I like that. I never want to use the real names because just in case somebody gets recognised or knows the story or whatever. I was a young police officer. I'd probably got about a year to 18 months in the police, so I wasn't terribly experienced. And I walking around Birmingham, it's a big city in the UK, right in the middle of Birmingham, in the middle of England. And I was walking around and you get to meet some of the homeless guys, you know, the guys that are rough sleeping on the streets. Mm-hmm. And Joe wasn't particularly a nice guy. A lot of the police didn't like him. He didn't like the police. But I always had the ability to look at people and think, you know what, there's a human being there. You know, it's as simple as that, really. So I bought him the odd Mars bar and a bit of food sometimes. And, you know, and we got on okay. You know, we weren't necessarily the best. Okay, and I'd look out for him most nights and things like that.
How old was he?
I would say about 30, I think.
Oh, young.
He wasn't an old man at all. No, not at all. And he, as I say, he wasn't terribly nice, but I always bought him a Mars bar. And then one particular night, I was walking down a subway in Birmingham. Now, all those subways are now gone. They've been sort of got rid of with the modern architecture, the contemporary architecture. And but they were there in those days. And I was down this subway. And you can probably imagine that as a new police officer, the last thing you want to do is call for your colleagues to come and help you too quickly because they might think you're not perhaps up to the job, you're not perhaps brave enough or something like that.
Right.
So I'm down this subway and this large group of people were walking towards me. And I thought this just doesn't feel right. I'm really not looking forward to meeting these people. It feels bad. Something's going to happen. And I thought, do I call for my colleagues or not? And I decided not to because I thought, you know, they might think I wasn't up to the job. And then suddenly Joe came out of the bushes. I didn't know he was there. He walked out of the bushes and stood by me. He never said a thing. He just stood by me in what I took to be sort of a gesture of solidarity, really. And he stood there. This group came by, never said anything, didn't do anything wrong, and just went on their merry way. I've no idea if him being there made any difference or not, but it was definitely a gesture of solidarity. And he could obviously feel something that I was feeling at the time. And then he went back into the bushes and that was it. And I went on my merry way for the night. And a very short time after that, I recall it was about 3 weeks, but I don't know exactly. He was found dead in a fountain in Birmingham, face down in the cold winter's morning. And it kind of got me thinking a little bit, really.
Wow. That's a sad tale.
Mm. It was.
And so you got to thinking, what can I do?
I did, and like a lot of people, like a lot of things that happen, it got forgotten about. And, you know, it took me sort of probably about 17 years to actually do something about it. I did write a song about it, but because that's not going to help anybody on the streets, is it? But that's what I did. It was kind of the advent of social media and Facebook and Twitter and all these different things that made me think, you know, there's lots of people out there that comment an awful lot about things that are happening. They talk about the way things should be. They slag people off on the radio. They have a comment about everything that the government are doing. They've got a comment on how to sort out homelessness. They've got a comment on this. And I began to notice that actually they didn't ever do anything. They comment about it ever such a lot, but they don't actually do anything. So it was about, I'd done some time in the helicopter. I came off the police helicopter and worked in training for a bit. And in 2010, I thought, that's enough now, you know. So social media sort of kicked me off to actually do something, because I was thinking, people are never actually taking action. So we need to find something that people can do and they can do easily. And human beings are inherently lazy, really. And
right.
they won't do things if they don't need to and if they're too right. difficult to do. So I thought, what can I do that actually is easy to do, people can do without taking hours out of their day, without spending an awful lot of money? I don't know what it's like where you are, but where we are, we have a lot of people on the streets that are asking you for money for charities. Mm-hmm. They're employed by charities to come up to you and, right. and ask you to sign up for you know, monthly donation or whatever for charities. And people are getting fed up with being asked yep. for money all the time. So I didn't really yep. want to do that. I didn't want to go down the money route. So I thought, what can we do? And it was that made me think back to some of my army days, actually. And shall I tell you about that?
Yeah, absolutely.
Before you tell that story,
I just want to remind listeners and yourself just how perfect a guest you are, Ian, because it's exactly why I started the Good Radio Network, to introduce listeners to people like yourself who ask themselves, what can I do, even if I'm one person? And so here's a brilliant opportunity, if you're listening, to find out how you too can just do something, start anything to help other people. Because you're absolutely right, Ian. Everybody says, oh, you know, I wish things were different. But wishing, you know, like horses and whatever, you know, doesn't happen. You actually have to do something, change. And you're right. People, you know, I always say change happens best in chaos, because people don't like to leave their comfort zone unless they have to. So
absolutely.
Brilliant on you. Yeah. Okay. So tell us the days in the military.
Okay. So essentially, you've got to imagine now, it's September 2010, and I've decided that's enough, we're going to do something. So I kind of thought back, what can I do? And I thought back to my military days, and the army always used to make you put on a fresh pair of socks when you were in the woods, in the middle of England somewhere, you know, deep in the woods on manoeuvres, on exercises, as we called it. In the freezing cold sometimes, and they always made sure you had a fresh pair of socks with you, so you could be drenched through, absolutely wet through,
right.
but every morning put on a fresh pair of socks. And I remembered how fantastic that used to make you feel. And I know it sounds daft, and if you've never been in that situation, you put on a fresh pair of socks, even if you're wet everywhere else, even if your boots are wet, putting on mm-hmm. the fresh pair just makes you feel fabulous. So I thought, right, hang on a minute. Surely, I'm not suggesting being homeless is like being in the army, but it must be the same sort of thing when you're cold and wet. That must make you feel quite nice. So I thought, right, socks. It's going to be socks. That's what we're going to do. And then, because initially we only did it from September up till Christmas for the first couple of years. It's all year round now, but it was only from September to Christmas. People get, so socks are kind of practical, but what do people get at Christmas that are not really practical, but they quite like it? And we have things called selection boxes here, which are like chocolates in a box with lots of different sorts of chocolate shoved
right.
in a box.
Yeah,
it's called a selection box over here. I don't know what you might call them. And
box of chocolate.
So, well, yeah, it could be all right. Box of chocolates. Keep it simple. So I thought, well, hang on a minute, they've got the socks that are practical, how about some chocolate? And then I thought, hang on a minute, socks and chocks, it rhymes.
That is so cute, so
I thought, right, well, how about we do that? So I got in touch with some colleagues. There was a chap called Tony, a chap called Rob, and a lady called Rosie, all of which are police officers, but that's incidental. This is nothing to do with being a police officer. This is something we did ourselves, but we just happened to be police officers, if that makes sense. And I said, right, this is what we're going to do. So we did. We did a big collection. I think, off the top of my head, I think it was about 500 pairs of socks the first year, and a few sleeping bags, because the Police Federation, that's a bit like our union over here. I don't know if police officers are allowed to be in a union, either in the States or Canada, but we're actually not allowed to be in a union. So there's a Police Federation set up to try and help us fill that gap a little bit. And they gave us £500 as well. So we bought sleeping bags with those. And I think we got about, I'm guessing a bit now, but about 800 bits of chocolate, I think.
And we took them down to a centre that opens up from the 23rd of December to about the 29th of December, so homeless people can go in and live there and eat and be entertained for the whole of the Christmas period, which is clearly a difficult time of year for a lot of people. So we fed into that, and it went really well, and we all felt great about it. We made a difference to some people. The centre were really happy. It's called the Birmingham Christmas Mission, if anybody's interested in looking them up on the internet. Smashing group of people, do a great job. So that was kind of the first year, really. And then the second year, you can imagine we had a few more people interested in what we're about and what we did. So we managed to get a few more pairs of socks and a few more sleeping bags and, you know, very little money, because we don't ask for money, actually. We do get money donated to us, but we don't actually go out asking for it. We want to make [S2] Right. [S1] It simple. So you're doing your shopping around the supermarket or whatever. You can easily just reach for a pair of socks, put it in there, and then donate it to a homeless centre near where you are. So,
and I just want to say, I'm just going to stop you for one second because I have to get a word in edgewise. It's, you know, my kids always look forward to getting socks in their stocking at Christmas. Even as adult children now, you know, I still fill up with, you know, 12 pairs of socks, and mm-hmm. it carries them through, you know, the year, and they look forward to it and they love it. And so that's great. There's a gentleman, I'm hoping you're a gentleman. No, yeah, you are a gentleman. Sorry. He's in the chat window, and unfortunately he did try to get on through Skype, and he was having some troubles with it. But he's an East Midlands survivor, and what he did mention first to me was that he went through homelessness himself when he was younger, and he was grateful for people like you, Ian, who kept him alive. But now he's opening a new hostel for homeless male sexual abuse survivors in Nottingham, close to where you are, Ian. And he said he set up the first helpline in the UK for male sexual abuse survivors in 1986, and his name is Nigel O'Meara. Well, welcome, Nigel. Thank you so much for doing what you're doing to help change the world. And maybe, you know, in the future we can chat with you as well about what you're doing, because I think it's a very important. Male sexual abuse is, you know, it's kind of something that people don't like to talk about, but I'm sure, and this is for homeless male sexual abuse survivors. Wow, very specific. Well done. Do you know him?
Well, we've been chatting just today, actually, on Twitter and Facebook, and we stick with socks and chocolates, sleeping bags, hats, gloves, that kind of thing. But my dad, actually, his name is Brian. He and my father-in-law, they're my sort of little logistics guys who go around in my father-in-law David's van and pick up loads of stuff from lots of places all over the place. And my dad's got a relationship with a caretaker of a local boarding school here. And,
okay.
Dad goes down and collects whatever Bob gives away, and we get loads of stuff that's just left by the kids when they go off on vacation and whatever, or finished at school.
Sure.
And we get all their duvets and stuff. So it's not really socks and chocks, but my dad sorts through it. And sometimes we haven't really got the capacity to sort jumble out and stuff like that, you know, like old
sure.
clothes and stuff. But
yeah.
My dad takes what he can up to a local place that weighs the clothes and then sells them. And then we turn that into socks, chocks and sleeping bags and things, you see. And anyway, my dad said to me,
I just want to say one thing that if you don't mind me interjecting. And the one of the most underserved items that folks in hostels for homelessness people are looking for is underwear, because nobody donates underwear used, right?
They
you have to buy
us.
It.
Yeah. They do throw us.
So, but that is something that is, you know, desperately needed. So if you're thinking socks and chucks, throw in a pair of underwear too.
Yeah, somebody said, okay, and you know, you asked for some underwear as well the other day. You know, can we now start calling it socks, chocks and jocks, which is a bit of a joke name.
Cute.
For underwear here, but we'll keep it at socks and chocks. But we do collect underwear as well, and you're absolutely right. And socks, we don't mind being older socks, you know, as long as they're serviceable in pairs and clean, we don't mind that. But underwear,
right.
We've decided that's got
to
be new. That's not fair. So we,
yeah.
So anyway, so my dad's got all this stuff, including loads of bed linen and stuff like that, which Nigel, I think, would find quite useful. So we're going to arrange to get him to come and pick that up in the next few days,
Beautiful.
Hopefully. So
awesome.
That's a
nice
connection.
That's going to be a great start for you.
And that's
yeah.
where the really nice feeling of other people getting involved really comes from something like this. You know, we start off with socks and chocks, but then other people hear about it and they say, well, what can I do then? And then we're using social media now in a positive way. It's no longer this, you know, let me comment, let me say what everybody else should do. People are actually doing something, and it's brilliant. So, you know, somebody might be listening, or somebody might be on Twitter that might say, well, you know what, Nigel can't afford to come down and pick it up. Ian can't take it there. We haven't got vans or anything to do that. But I can do that. I'm driving to Nottingham next week. You know, and it works like that. And we, with Socks and Chocks, we really spend a lot of time trying to inspire people to do stuff where they live. It's not about us doing it all here in the West Midlands, which is in the middle region of England. We've now gone national, but we try not to drive all over the place. We try and get people locally to do stuff.
If somebody in London, let's say, wanted to have a Socks and Chocks, then can they be like a chapter Socks and Chocks?
Yeah, well, I like that chapter. Yeah, it's kind of like Hell's Angels, isn't it? They can. We don't set it up formally. We've got a constitution, which is me and my colleague.
But you are a registered charity, correct?
No, we're not registered charity. The laws require you to have £5,000 before you can be registered as a charity. But we are going through that process at the moment. So we are a legitimate charity, but because we haven't raised enough money, we don't have to be registered, and we're not allowed to call ourselves.
$10,000 for those of you who are listening over here.
It's pounds over here. That's right. We're not registered at the moment, so we can't call ourselves a registered charity, but we can call ourselves a charity. That's quite okay. So that's where we are, and that's what we're up to. So did I get to – I know I've not stopped you talking, haven't I, really? Did I get to the second year, what we did in the second year?
No, but I'm going to hold that just for 1 second, because I just want to read this. This is called A Sockless Story from your website, and it was so cute. It was from Lauren, and I just want to read to the listeners. Hi. She wrote this in. She goes, hi, my name is Lauren, and I'm 12. Yesterday, I passed a homeless man, and I got really upset, and I cried. I was waiting for the bus with my mom, and we had been Christmas shopping and had some candy canes. I grabbed a candy cane, and I gave it to the man, but I want to do a lot more. I've advertised on a few buy it and sell it swap sites for blankets and hats and gloves and scarves. And then my mom's friend tagged my mom onto this page, and I want to know how I can help. Brilliant.
Lovely. That's
Lauren,
what it's all
that about. That's so, what a heart you have at 12 years old. That's so sweet. And I imagine if you listen to this ever, because maybe Ian can put this on his website, that you can go to your school and just maybe hold a bazaar day or something. And just ask everybody to bring socks in one day and chocks.
Yeah, well, from my point of view, that's perfect. That's exactly what we're trying to do. And on the website, we had some help from a group of professional people who build websites, and they're called Good for Nothing. And that means we do good for nothing. Yeah, I mean, if you get a chance to listen to speak to Lisa and Ryan doing that, they're fabulous, and they invited us to a weekend where there's all these fantastic web designers and stuff, and we went along and I pitched what Socks and Chocks was about so they could understand our ethos. And I know you've put that on there. There are lots of people doing a little bit is better than a few people doing a lot, and that's what we firmly believe in. And in a weekend, they built us a really good website. We didn't have to pay for that at all.
Socksandchocks.co.uk. And I just want to say, I love how the numbers are constantly updating.
Oh, it's great, isn't it?
That's great. I love that.
So they did that, and on there there's an area for resource packs. So if somebody did want to do what you've just suggested at a school, they can download the posters. If they're younger children, they can download the sock cutout thing, and they can make a pretend pair of socks to put candy in or whatever, and then they can go and hand it out to a homeless centre. We work through homeless centres. We don't go an awful lot out onto the streets ourselves, because we believe there's got to be a backup. So somebody like Nigel, if we help Nigel to help somebody who's off the streets, he's got the backup of all the counselling and all the rest of it. So we make sure
Do you think a Joe would go to a homeless centre? Would a guy like Joe, or would he just want to be on the street? Some of them are afraid to go into the centres.
It's a very complex problem. They don't often trust the establishment. It can be an issue. And I think that, he would go in, and he probably would go in to get a meal or something. Whether or not he would engage or not is another thing. But of course, you're never looking at just the one stop, the one chance. What you're hoping is that they'll continue to go and engage. So one of the things that we're doing this year in December and January is we're trying to pilot something called, we're calling it the Way In Project, but basically what it is we're funding short-term bed and breakfast accommodation so that if somebody turns up at a homeless centre that doesn't do accommodation, it's a day centre, and it's cold, but it's not cold enough for the government to have to do something about it. In other words, the cold weather provision hasn't kicked in. We're hoping to be able to say, well, look, put them into a decent bed and breakfast, not a hostel, not a horrible bed and breakfast, a nice bed and breakfast, in the hope they can get clean, get cleaned up, get warm. And then at that point, we'll get in an outreach worker or just go and say hello and see whether that might be the first opportunity to get them to engage with a, you know, some other support somewhere along the line.
Right. You know, I know that I introduced you to Denise Sandoval, who started Lavame. And I'm wondering how many of the hostels that you're working with have showers? Like, is there an opportunity for these guys to get clean?
Yeah, a lot of the day centres do have showers. They're well set up. And as you said, you know, some people just don't go to them. They don't go to them. Or they'll go to the ones of choice. Or they'll only go to the evening surgery when they've got perhaps 2 hours to go in and interact with the staff or whatever. There are things about. But, of course, what we're trying to do is make sure that if they do have that shower and they've got a pair of socks that are just dropping off their feet, they've got a fresh pair that they can put on. Or if they need a sleeping bag. But a lot of it's based around need. If you just willy-nilly give stuff out to people on the street, you could inadvertently create a currency. So they've got like a sleeping bag or something they could sell or swap for something that you don't want them to have. So it's very careful that it has to be a need. And really, the people that are best able to work that out are the homeless centres. So Nigel, for instance, would know, you know, what one of his guys in his hostel would actually need. Does he need the sleeping bag, or does he need the socks? Or and he can make that decision, and we trust the professionals in these places to make that decision for us.
Well, because not everybody who's homeless has a mental illness. Some of them, you know, as I found out through other shows that we've had here, a lot of them, you know, rents have gone up, so there are a lot of employed homeless people, like, because they can't afford their house anymore to pay the mortgage or the rent for their family, and so they're living on the streets. And yet they need to be clean and showered and ready to go to work, because they're still working but not making quite enough money to pay for lodging. And that's becoming a new problem in today's world.
And how do you, you know, how do you begin to think how you'd cope with that? I don't know.
Yeah. And so, you know, a lot of times these people, they just really, you know, this leg up, this help to clothe them and you know, bathe them and give them good food is just maybe what they need to get a job, because it's really hard to get a job when you're smelly and people don't want to see you.
Well, let me tell you a nice story. I know I've still got a bit to tell you about the Socks and Trucks journey, but a nice thing that happened to me the other day. I think while we're having the problems, me logging on, were you talking about the Buskin Bobby thing where I played guitar one day?
I want to talk about Buskin Bobby. Yeah, let's talk about that.
Well, I'll just tell you this little story, it's kind of related to it, really. Just after that happened, and I became a little bit, dare I say, internet famous. I think it's a bit more the Andy Warhol moment, you know, the 15 minutes of fame thing. But I did that, and obviously lots of people then got to hear about Socks and Chocks because of it. And then this homeless centre called me up that Socks and Chocks support. And I must say as well, Socks and Chocks is not just me. It's there's many other people. There's about seven other people. There's Mara, there's Leslie, Rosie, Kate, Kathy, Rob, and Ness. There's many of us that get together to actually make it work at a central level. Anyway, this homeless centre called Cypher Fireside that we help, and they rang me up and they said, oh, our in-house band that have been learning to play instruments have done a version of your song, the song called Pleasure, that I know you're aware of, and they want you to come and listen to it. We're doing a concert. And I said, okay. So I went down and I did a couple of songs, I think, and then I was talking to the band, and I said to this one guy, I said, are you going to get on and play in a minute? And they said, oh, no, the drummer hasn't turned up. I said, oh, dear. Anyway, I got chatting to this other guy, ex-soldier, in a bad place. And he said, hey, mate. He said, I used to play the drums. I said, did you? He said, yeah, I wasn't too bad. And I said, hey, listen. I said, this band, they haven't got their drummer. You need to get up and play for them. He said, oh, no. He said, I'm not confident. Okay, fair enough. So I chatted him a bit longer. And then I went to the back of the room and I was talking to the band, and suddenly we heard this drum solo start up. And I said, oh, your drummer's here then. And I turned around and it wasn't. It was this guy who I was talking to.
Isn't that great?
And he was bashing out these drums. So I quickly grabbed a guitar, ran to the back of the room, banged out Wonderwall with him come to me on the drums. And it was just a great moment. And the band said, right, we're off on to another gig after this one. You're coming with us. So off he went, you see, which was great, you know. And then literally three weeks ago on Twitter, this thing popped up with my Twitter handle is @BuskinBobby and @SocksandChocksTeam if anybody's interested in following what we're doing. And it popped up. It said, hello, Ian. I don't know if you remember me. I played drums with you at Cypher Fireside on the song Wonderwall. I went, yeah, of course I remember. Fantastic. How fantastic is that, you know, that you've got in touch? You know, it was one of the best moments of my life, you know, you doing that. And he said, well, I just wanted to say thanks to you and to Socks and Chocks and to Cypher Fireside. He said, I'm now working. I'm working at a local car plant called Jaguar Land Rover. He said, I've got a new girlfriend. He said, life is fantastic. And I just want to thank you. And it was like,
wow,
that's what it's about. You know, it was just great.
Playing the drums did all that?
Well, you just never know, do you? You see,
this
is what people don't know. The interaction they take at any particular point, you don't know what difference that will make. You don't know.
That's right.
That person to turn the corner. So what we do generally as human beings, we think the problem's too big. There's nothing I can do. Well, actually, the little thing that you do might be the bit that makes the difference. So,
you know, it is. You are so right. And sometimes all people need is to hear a smile on the phone, a good day, how are you? You know, look him in the eye as he walked by. I'm also a drummer, so I'm like, oh, I should go down and play my drums and everything will work out perfect. But, you know, Ian did write this song called Pleasure, and he's asking, you know, he's played it and he's asking other musicians to make their own versions of it on YouTube, and it's really cool. And you can go and listen and then record it and then upload it. And it's the G, D, and C, E, and A. So, I mean, almost everybody can play that on guitar. And even I can. And it really is really kind of brilliant. And it starts off, I'll read a couple of the lyrics. So unpleasant to the eye of the common man, with sores, dirty bodies, and scabies, asking for money, upsetting the ladies, nobody really gives a damn. And that's how it starts. And this is written by Ian. And, you know, congratulations on your foray into songwriting. I'm going to get my husband to record that, and I'm going to have him put it, and we'll put that up too, because he's quite a good guitarist and singer, and he's a good songwriter. So I'd love to see his version of it. But, you know, I just doing that, just having, you know, the balls, let's say, to do that is great. Good for you.
Well, you know, it's just, you know, the people can the guys at the Cypher Fireside, they recorded it. It gave them some interest. You know, they had somewhere to go and actually play their music and have an outlet. You know, it's something they wouldn't necessarily have had without Cypher Fireside, for instance. So it's great. It's what the thing that you do, what difference it's actually going to make. So give it a go.
So Ian, it was 2012, I think, and you were on the job as a police officer, as a bobby in England, and you came across some buskers that you knew, and you decided to grab a guitar and start playing Wonderwall, and that performance was picked up by a number of people actually who you know videotaped it and threw it up onto YouTube. This is what he was referring to, his infamous 15 minutes of fame, because they got something over 700,000 hits, and Socks and Chocks was the recipient of increased donations right after that.
Yeah, absolutely. The
so
year before.
That.
Sorry, you're breaking up again now. That's a shame. We've been quite good.
I said it was really fun to watch, And if you want to see it, you can go to YouTube or you can go to thegoodradionetwork.com, and I have that on our site under guests, upcoming guests. So you can check it out there too. Go ahead, Ian.
The year before that was, it was 2013 actually that happened, but 2012 we did something like 1,500 pairs of socks and probably about 60 or 70 sleeping bags, I think, and perhaps 1,500 bits of chocolate. That happened. It was on the first, I think it was the 1st of June 2013. It obviously got me on local TV, Radio 5 Live, which is a big radio station here. I even got on Yahoo Canada News, I think. It's on there somewhere. So it was almost worldwide. And as you say, it was 750,000 hits worldwide. So it got a lot of publicity for Socks and Chocks. And that took us up to then 8,500 pairs of socks that year with people that wanted to help. And I can't remember exactly how many bits of chocolate, but we weren't even counting individual bars by now. We were counting big handfuls of chocolate bars or big family bars or actual boxes of chocolates as one rather than every individual bar. And then it's just got bigger and bigger. And clearly, you pointed out the Point of Light Award from the Prime Minister earlier on, and another award I won in Birmingham. And what that did, it took us last year to 17,500 pairs of socks. It was
brilliant.
Quite phenomenal, really.
And, amazing.
21,000 bits of chocolate, and I think it was nearly 600 sleeping bags and 3,000 hats, gloves and stuff. It was just mad. So I was walking down the high street, and I saw this busker that I'd played with before just for a few moments, you know, having a look at his guitar. And he said, Ian, do a song. So I hadn't got anything on. I wasn't busy. I was in full uniform. So I strapped on the guitar, did Wonderwall, and I think I did a couple of other songs as well. But the police didn't know I did that bit. They thought I just did one. And I strapped it on, did the song. We had probably about 300 people watching, and of course the rest is history, really, I suppose.
You know, I just wanted to say that if you're listening and you want to call in and you're on this side of the pond with me, it's 845-241-9943, and hit the number 1 to be put into the host queue. And I just did check again on the front of the site. If you folks who want to try Skype again, you'll see the show, and then click on Ian's name or the name of the show, and you'll be taken to a secondary page which shows the Skype. And try again and see if you can't get in through Skype, and we'll see if more than one person at a time can call in through Skype. That I'm not sure of, but let's just try it again. Why not? I wanted to. I lost my train of thought there for a second, but I know what it was. One of the versions of your song was sung by Rebecca Newman. And she is affectionately named the People's Soprano in UK. And she's absolutely beautiful and brilliant and amazing, songstress and soprano. We were hoping she would call. And unfortunately, I guess she's a little busy today. But go and listen to her version of the song. It's quite nice.
It's quite a nice story about that. Rebecca got in touch with me on Twitter, and we were sort of chatting about various things. She actually used to be a busker herself, so she was a busker up in York when she was doing her studies. So she met a lot of homeless people. So Socks and Chocks kind of resonated with her, and she decided she wanted to help. And she's actually our patron of our Socks and Chocks. So she's our little celebrity patron who supports what we do. And she is absolutely wonderful. She did a concert about 2 weeks ago. It was the 16th of July. And she invited me up with my family to see the concert. So off we went. And in the second half, she called me up on stage and asked me to talk about Socks and Chocks. And that, of course, got another load of people interested that have now contacted me, and they want to do things themselves. And it's just a lovely feeling of taking something from absolutely nothing, nothing at all. I mean, it's just people sat in an office thinking, let's have a go at doing something. And now it's this national and in some ways international thing. And we want people in across the pond there in the States and Canada to think, well, okay, we can do our version of Socks and Chocks. You don't have to send the stuff to me or anything like that. Just say, you know, it's part of Socks and Chocks, and let's get it out there. Let's get everybody having a go. One of the nicest things that happens to me every Christmas is my niece, Alexandra, her friend at school buys a big bar of chocolate with her pocket money, and she gives it to Alex and says, give that to your uncle for Socks and Chocks. Right. So
aww,
a young girl with no real money, she can find a little bit of money to buy something to help somebody else. So again, you can go around the supermarket, you can be doing your normal weekly shopping, and you can see a pair of socks and you can buy it and then go and donate it to a homeless centre somewhere near where you are. Or if you want to, you could give it to somebody on the streets if you pass a homeless person every day. Just bear in mind, obviously, the usual sort of safety points about that. But, you know, off you go.
Now, are you going to be at a point where you can write receipts for donations, like tax receipts?
Well, because we're going through the registration process at the moment, once we are over here, incorporated organisation, once we've got that, then we'll be linked in with the tax office. So, again, you call it the IRS or something, the tax people anyway. So that
and the reason I'm asking that is because if people do, you know, start up their own Socks and Chocks, you have an identity to protect a little bit. So maybe they should contact you. I don't know if you thought it through that way or not.
No, not really. If somebody wants to do it, we want to keep it simple, because as soon as we take it any further and make it more complicated than it needs to be, people won't do it. It's what I said earlier on. Human frailty sometimes gets in the way. And one of the human frailty things is if it's in the too difficult box, we won't do it. So we're trying to keep Socks and Chocks really simple. You know what? If you want to help Socks and Chocks, and you happen to live in Canada, let's say, you go out, start your Socks and Chocks collection among your friends and family. Get a load of Socks and Chocks first, then we'll worry about what we're going to do with it. Then what you can do is you can find a local homeless centre somewhere near where you are, a soup kitchen or something like that, and you can take it down and donate it. All you need to do then is tell them that it's inspired by Socks and Chocks. It's your work. It's your collection. We don't want to take anything away from you. But if you can put that story then up on Facebook or send it to me and I can put it on the website, then that helps me to inspire more people worldwide to do something.
That's great.
If you live in the United Kingdom, you can, again, do the collection, because without the collection, nothing's happening. So get the collection done first. And then you can go on the website and you can see a load of places that we work with that will take donations. And if you're still struggling after that, then we'll work out some way of collecting the stuff and then getting it out ourselves. We'll try and do that. I would like to point out, and it's very important because of what I was saying about charities earlier on, nobody that's involved with Socks and Chocks, including me, gets a salary or anything like that. And we don't claim expenses. So if we have to drive down to London to get some socks from somewhere, none of my team, I mentioned them earlier on, none of my team take any expenses or anything. We do it because we can and because we want to. So it's not a question of being able to be reimbursed. We put a lot of money into this to make it happen. So if we can inspire everybody to do their little bit, then we're going to have a massive effect. And I'd like the Socks and Chocks to go global, but I'd like it to be a global phenomenon. Not that I'm in charge of it. It's that people feel they're empowered to do it for themselves. It's not about doing it for Socks and Chocks. It's about doing it for yourself. But by all means, use our banner if you want to. But it will be your collection.
That's really generous of you. It really is.
Well,
a lot of people want to protect their identity. So if I want to start it, what's the very first thing I should do? How do I collect these socks?
You tell all your friends and family, or you might know somebody who's got a radio station that could do a show or something. Maybe you. Right. So.
Well, I want to make it simple for the people who are listening to start, because everybody says, "Well, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do."
Right. All you do is, this is how it started. We put up some signs around the workplace where we were. We did a little bit of work on Twitter and Facebook, and we just told lots of people we are doing this. The other thing that we did was Christmas time. I don't know whether you do the same sort of thing here, but people at Christmas in like large offices, they write cards to loads and loads of people and hand them out. Is that something you do where you are?
Yeah, you do all that.
And it's very nice. And normally they're signing cheaper end cards, and they're quite often that you give them to people that you don't really talk to the rest of the year very much, but you feel you ought to at Christmas or something. So we say, right, stop doing that, okay? Buy a pair of socks. It's got the little sort of cardboardy bit attached to it. write your message on there. So happy Christmas, Frankie. Love
right.
Ian.
Right.
Okay. Kiss, kiss, kiss. Give you that. That goes then up onto a giant board at work. So you stick it on a notice board sort of thing. So everybody can see that you've done that. And then in January, instead of throwing them away, which is what happens, so you throw them away and then the card company become rich. What we do
right.
is we take them down and we've now got masses of socks and we go and give them
awesome.
To our home centre. So
I really
that's
love that
a simple
idea.
Way of doing it. Simple
and
way of doing it.
It's cheaper than a card. Cheaper to buy a pair of socks than a card.
Often cheaper, yeah. We have, I don't know if you have pound shops over there. We have, well, that probably wouldn't be pound, would it?
No,
dollar shops.
But I just bought two cards today, you know, and each one was like $8, which is £16.
Yep.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's crazy. No, it's less than that. I'd be 16.
About four,
be.
Probably four. Is it?
Four. Yeah.
Either way.
But
yeah.
How about this? Decorate your Christmas tree at the office with those big ones with socks. There you go.
Even better. Even better. So there's a new – so just by talking to you now,
how
we've got a new idea.
That?
Right,
yeah.
So let's get it up there. And then in January, we've got a really good donation. But
yeah.
People – coming up to Christmas, people realise that actually it is a little bit colder. And although homeless people need socks all year round because they drop off their feet, you know, they do need them all
sure.
year round. But
yeah.
People get their minds directed a little bit onto it when it's in that last sort of quarter of the year and it's getting colder and they think about it. So they want to help. And then if you could provide, you know, a local cafe, for instance, that we've got around here, they put a box in the cafe and then people, when they come in, they see it, they see the Socks and Chocks logo and they drop some socks into it and,
nice.
And we get that donation and we take it somewhere else and so on and so forth. And if don't worry about having a massive collection, just worry about having a collection and see where it takes you. And you might
know,
be.
I was just sorry to interrupt you there. It's you talk so fast, I have to.
Sorry.
No. I had to interrupt you and I forgot what I was going to say to them. Oh, it was about what about jeans? Now I know my daughter collects jeans for teens for homeless kids on the street because they always need jeans. Or boots or things like that. Do you get into that? Do you want to get into that? Or simply socks and chocks?
We don't because we haven't got the infrastructure to be able to sort it all out. But if somebody contacts me and says, we've got a load of jeans here, I'll tell them to take it to a local homeless centre. But actually, your daughter's doing her bit there, and that's fantastic. So she's doing something.
Yeah.
She doesn't have to do that for socks and chocks. She's doing that herself. It's not. We're not in this for some kind of ego and dare I say, sometimes people are, you know, and we're
right.
not. So your daughter's already doing her bit. So whether it's for, you know, Billy's
yeah.
jeans or something, you know, it doesn't matter. She's doing it. And that's brilliant. And that's what we're trying to do. Somebody says, I like the idea of socks and chocks, but you know what? It's not quite what I want to do. I'd rather get musical instruments. But I don't know, you know, what it could be, you know, for homeless
right,
people.
Right.
Do that then, because you're still going to make a difference. And one of my team the other day sent me a link to something called The Starfish Story. I don't know if you've ever heard of that, have you?
Yeah, The Starfish, yeah.
Where the man, there's a man walking down this beach where there's been all these millions of starfish sort of washed up onto the beach and they're all slowly
right.
dying because of the sun. And there's a young
yeah.
boy stood there and he's picking them up and throwing them back into the sea. And this man comes along and he says, hey, son, he said, what are you doing there? He said, you know, there's so many, you're not going to make any difference at all. And the guy, the little boy, picked up a starfish, threw it into the sea, and he looked at the man, he said, I made a difference to that one, didn't I? And then he leant
yeah.
down and picked another one. He said, I made a difference to that one. So that's
so
what
true.
It is. It's do your own thing. You don't have to copy socks and chocks. You can if you want. You don't have to. It's
right.
about just inspiring you to do something. So just please do something. But I'd love to hear what you're doing because it's great stuff to put on the website and on Facebook to get people to know what we're all about.
I know what I was going to talk about. It was that the idea of compassion fatigue. You brought it up at the beginning. Everybody's asking you for money.
Yeah.
And you know, everybody has a favorite charity that they give to. And, you know, you're asked 20 times a day, if not, you know, more. Do you want to give money to the kids? Do you want to give money to this? Do you want to give money to that? And now we have this compassion fatigue. We're so tired of people asking us that it's like, I don't even want to do anything anymore. But by being able to, you know, give some chocolates, give some socks. Everybody's got socks around or, you know, that's an easy give. It's not money. It's you know, a tangible item that you know is going to help somebody. It's not because, you know, you're not just throwing money at a big store that's going to get a big tax write-off for it.
No.
You know, you don't even know if 2% is going to get to those people. But these are tangible clothing items that are going to actually get to the place that they need to get to. Over here, a lot of times you can drop things at the fire department, and the fire department will distribute it for you. Do they do that in England?
Not that I'm aware of. There's lots of people that are doing different things, but I'm not actually aware of that one.
Okay. No, I mean anything. Pretty much you can take toys, you can take anything to the fire department, and they'll go and distribute it for you. So it's kind of nice.
Super.
Yeah. So I love this idea of a global socks and chocks, and you know, everybody can you know, you have a map on your website. Soon you'll have a map. You'll get those guys to put a map, and then you can put little stickers and show everybody where socks and chocks are popping up across the world, which would be fun to look at.
It'd just be the coolest thing, wouldn't it?
Wouldn't it? Yeah, I love it. Ian, you are such a great soul, I swear. You know, it's so nice to know you and to meet you and to hear your brilliant story. And I'm just really glad that, you know, a lot of times, it's interesting, but a lot of times in midlife, because I wrote the book on midlife, people wake up and they say, you know what, I have this great desire to give back, and they just don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And you woke up and you figured it out. So good on you for doing that. And thank you so much for inspiring all these other people to do the same. Because it feels good to give, right? It feels good.
It does. It's amazing. It's an amazing thing. And once you've done the first time, you just want to do it again, and you just want to help people. And, you know, you do get something out of it yourself. It's not totally altruistic. I feel good doing this. You know, it's
right. Hard. Yeah. And if you do happen to make a sock out of a Christmas tree, or a Christmas tree with socks as the ornaments, send a picture. I'd like to see it.
Oh, that'd be great. In fact, I've got to quickly ask for this. There's a young filmmaker who's doing a film on socks and chocks for publicity purposes and to help her with her master's degree. And on the Facebook page, I'll just put something up there. She needs people taking some selfies. I don't know whether you call them selfies there. You know, you take pictures of yourself with phone.
Yeah,
okay. So she wants people to take pictures with socks that they're going to donate. And then that's going to go onto a film. But she needs it on there tonight. So that's a big call to action there.
Ooh, big call to action.
If anybody can help us out with that, that'd be great. And they'll get on a film.
So buy some socks and hold the socks up. Is that what she wants?
Yeah.
Or does she want to see them by their feet, or does it matter?
It doesn't matter. One person has put one with one of my treasure, in fact, called Leslie. She's done one with a pair of socks hanging on her head.
Okay.
So just whatever you like. It really doesn't matter. Do whatever you like, but just get it on there. They don't have to be bought. You can just get one out of the drawer and do it. But it's a question of we're trying to show people how simple it actually is. You know, you can just do that, and it's done. It's helped somebody.
Right. Perfect. And does she want your face in it, or just the socks?
No, face as well. If you're happy for your face to be used in a film, then yeah, absolutely. Her name's Catherine. I'm hoping she's going to be listening.
Catherine, with a K or a C?
With a K. And and so she might be listening, in which case she'll be delighted if she gets a few more selfies up there. So you'll see that on Facebook.
Okay, well, I'll post it on our website too on Facebook, and hopefully we can get some selfies with socks.
Wonderful. But it has to be tonight, because she's got to finish the project tomorrow.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Tonight you're already at 6 o'clock. So by what time?
Oh, before tomorrow 10? Morning. So, you know, before, what, is it about 1 a.m. for you? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, perfect. All right, we'll post that then, and hopefully we can get socks and chocks. So again, I've been talking to Ian Northcott. He is the founder for Socks and Chocks. And if you want, Ian, give him your website.
Okay, the website is www.socksandchocks.co.uk.
And it's actually the and in there?
Yeah, A and D in the middle, yeah.
Okay.
And do you want the Twitter details as well?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, so my one, that when I used to be a police officer, they allowed me to keep the same number because I got the same handle because I got quite a few followers. It's @buskingbobby. And the other one, the Socks and Chocks team one, is @socksandchocks.
Okay, well, we are just about out of time. And I'd just like to thank you so much for being my guest today. Thank you so much for starting Socks and Chocks. Thank you, everybody who listened to the show today. Thanks for sticking around. And for those of you who are going to be downloading the show later, I want to thank you, too, for listening. And you, too, can start your own Socks and Chocks. So reach out to Ian if you like. And can they email you? To Ian?
Yeah,
Ian,
can
they email
you? Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, it's socksandchocks@yahoo.co.uk.
Perfect. Thank you so much. It's been wonderful to be with you. Everybody, have yourself a blessed day or night wherever you are in the world. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I know.